People should understand this interview as a personal conversation with you about a project that has been going on for many years, literally decades, and is very well evidenced on the Hamsong Foundation website and especially songofamerica.net, in which we have these radio shows and all sorts of biographical and historical reference materials that you can read and download, whatever you'd like to do. So whatever anecdotal interjections or conversations we have here, this is all meant to reflect and motivate, inspire someone to go actually have a walk through the songofamerica.net website, if I may. And it's all free. It's all donation-based. I don't make any money on it. Au contraire. And you will notice what is the most important thing about the songofamerica.net website is it's built on a timeline. So, because I think that's the easiest way to understand all the craziness in our country. So if you drop your needle in 1795 or 1824 or 1895, you're going to come up with a collection of poets and composers that were on the way. They may or may not have known one another. As with most song, the composer is inspired by a poet who has already lived or is living and has already experienced something. So there's a little bit lag, but we try and identify recognizable historical markers, development markers. And also what's interesting is it is, especially since so many composers are unknown, you know, what other poets did they set, or what other composers were inspired by this or that poem or poet? Of course, Walt Whitman and Emily Dickinson stand heads and shoulders above everyone that's inspired by American poetry, both here in America and abroad. But there's all sorts of little tips, as I call them, tips of the icebergs. You know, the story of Francis Hopkinson and George Washington is very, very beautiful and has a lot of layers to it in their friendship, but also who Francis Hopkinson and his son became. Francis Hopkinson, you know, in 1759, which is, 17 years before came the Declaration of Independence, wrote some violin pieces and some airs, as they called them, on English texts. Parnell was the author. And he sent these to George Washington with a beautiful letter. It's actually on the website. It's a beautiful letter in which he identifies himself as the first American to create artistic evidence of being an American on, as he says, our soil, which was a big deal for these men. And he says in his letter, "May I simply be the initiation of glorious times to come." I mean, it's really very beautiful. Washington's very grateful. I like to make a little joke about it. He writes back and said, I'm a little busy here on the Potomac. I'll take your word for it. I have a tin ear. I'd have no idea, but thank you so much, Francis. You're a wonderful colleague. See you soon. And indeed, they did see each other soon, and Francis Hopkinson was a signer of the Declaration of Independence as well, and he was also one of the first Supreme Court justices. The Supreme Court had a different structure until the 1820s, but what would be the equivalent of a Supreme Court justice was Francis Hopkinson. And his son as well was a very famous author and very famous judge. So this, you know, "My Days Have Been So Wondrous Free" belongs to seven other English airs, ditties. It's a very charming piece. And skipping those 80 years right into the earlier songs of Stephen Foster seems to make sense. Stephen Foster is, of course, what I've always called the trunk of the tree in American music, if not certainly song. And I think people, especially European audiences, are very interested and can very well identify that what Stephen Foster was trying to do was to do in America what Thomas More did in the Irish Melodies. And the Irish Melodies, by the way, is the only book of songs that from its first publication before the beginning of the 19th century to today has never been out of publication. Can you imagine? It's fantastic. And of course, Stephen Foster was deeply proud of his Irish heritage and lived in Pittsburgh and was a very sort of ambivalent personality, but somehow his muse was a kind of mirror of the times. He was probably more socially aware than he was socially active. On the other hand, and it's a long story, I don't want to really get in. There's a lot of contradicting factories about Foster. The idea that he wrote for blackface, ergo he supported minstrelsy, is simply not true. His songs were very often appropriated. There were times when he was licensing his songs to groups that he knew did blackface. The minute he got control of his and bought his own copyrights, and of course the world of copyright in the 1830s and 40s is just an abominable, usury, abusive world to creativity. It's unbelievable. So he buys his copyrights. The first thing he does is takes all of the blackface caricatures off of the frontispieces of the music he wanted to publish. I've had a lot of conversations about this issue with very sensible and sensitive African-American people in America, African-American colleagues, but also, you know, the vice president of public broadcasting. And what I like to do is, if you pull up the one song, Nelly Was a Lady, and, you know, I just read that text with them. And I said, now, what's this song about? Very simple. Nelly was a lady. Right? So we just read through this text, and we've got, it's a little bit in dialogue or a dialect. You know, you've got this, obviously, this black guy, not a slave, but a black man going up and down the river with bales of cotton, you know, obviously working. And he's got Nell, his beautiful bride. And the story is about the fact that, you know, he had to be away more than he was home. And he comes home one night. In fact, Nell has died. And it's a sad little strophic song. But as far as I know, there is no other evidence of a white composer celebrating, glorifying, if you will, in music and poetry, the life of an African-American family in the 1840s. The 1840s in America is when the abolition movement gets extremely active and vocal, thank God. We even have broadsheets from the Star-Spangled Banner where they kept the tune and they brought in different texts. And by the way, there are over 220 different texts to the tune of Oh, Say, Can You See Through the... But that's a whole other radio show that we'll do when Mark Clegg, the great scholar from the University of Michigan and my very close friend and board member of the Hamsun Foundation and partner in crime, when he finishes his book on the amazing story of the Star-Spangled Banner and the poem and the music. But never mind. The point is, this is a very volatile time. So to have this song in the middle of that, to me, he was by no means, Foster, by no means a political activist on either side of the fence. He wasn't an activist about anything. He was a rather asexual, apolitical personality. He had a very deep muse. He was a very wounded human being. He was extremely close to his sister, Jenny, from which the song I Dream of Jeannie comes. The manuscript, written manuscript, is I Dream of Jenny with the light brown hair. And the song is modeled on Thomas More's Oft in the Stilly Night. Da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee. You know, there's also, like I say, tips of icebergs. I could go on for forever on this. It's a never-ending connective story of the interconnectedness of America. And when I say that, I see in my mind's eye the rural street maps or road maps of before we started flying over everything of America and before the interstate system was built, and how everything was just connected like tendrils, roots of an ivy plant that just goes all over your garden. That's what the 19th century felt like to me and seems like to me. And every once in a while, there's these blossoms of creativity that are trying to capture that. Stephen Foster is probably the most arranged composer in our history. Everything from vaudeville to John Coltrane has arranged songs of Stephen Foster. Certainly Hard Times, iconic American folk song, is the most arranged song of cross genres of any song, I believe, in our cultural tapestry. There's a song in this da-da-da-da-da-da-da, oh, hard times come again no more. It's such a beautiful song. So Stephen Foster is elemental to understanding America.